Contract Properties is a homegrown, family-owned maintenance company located in Nashville. They provide HVAC, electrical, plumbing, painting, and many other services for commercial and residential properties. From build-outs to junk removal, one call does it all. Whether you're a homeowner or a property manager, give Contract Properties a call today for a free estimate. 615-356-0755. That's 615-356-0755. Or visit contractproperties.net.
Now it's time for Blaine and Mickey, powered by the Tennessee Lottery on 104.5 The Zone.
Friday edition of Blaine and Mickey is on the air on 104.5 The Zone. Good to have you with us today. Blaine's here, Mickey's here, JT is here, and we're on Zoom. A couple of quick things I've noticed. JT, remember at one time, Blaine, he had a very soft beard. He's got like a big goatee now, and it looks like it's got some gray in it. Our little man's growing up on us. He's got some gray in his beard. The other thing is he's wearing his hat backwards today. Don't often see that with JT. Backwards hat from JT. So he looks young with the hat backwards. JT, you got a little silver in that beard, man?
Yeah, it really happened once the kid was born. Also, I never drank coffee until I had a kid, and all of a sudden, it's like four cups a day now. And it normally doesn't start until about 12. But, yeah, some gray in this. I thought about, Blaine, you dye your hair.
Yeah.
That beautiful, beautiful color. I tried a couple times, and it would just run down. Like, I would start to put some stuff in the beard, and it would just kind of run down my neck. And I said, I can't do this. I'm just going to let it go.
No, well, you're supposed to put Vaseline around it.
Yeah.
Whatever color you're putting in there. That's what I was informed by my, watch this, beautician. Not my barber. Nah, this is my barber.
his barbetician. Yeah. Mike Vrabel speaking.
Got some blessings, man. Got some blessings. Got to check him out there in downtown Franklin.
There you go. Mike Vrabel speaking earlier, and normally he won't say who is or who isn't going to go on Sunday, but he offered up three names. Roger Saffold, who hasn't practiced all week, Adoree Jackson and Adam Humphreys. No surprise with either one of those guys, but he said there'll be a list that comes out later. Here's a list of people. This is per John Glennon, Blaine, who didn't practice at all this week. Roger Saffold with an ankle, Ben Jones with the knee, Clowney with the knee, Adoree and Adam Humphreys, Michael Pruitt. We saw him get twisted around pretty good a couple of weeks ago. And Rob Murchison, they all missed the whole week of practice. John Glennon reports A.J. Brown, Dennis Kelly, which certainly is good news to get the Undertaker back, and Chris Jackson did practice today. Meanwhile, the Ravens haven't had Calais Campbell practice all week or nose tackle Brandon Williams. So there's a lot of big names and important players, it looks like, who could be missing this game.
Yeah, but I can give a rat to you know what about the Ravens. But the Titans, it's a little concerning. I said this yesterday because I wasn't sure who, without, you know, knowing, you know, not being there, you know, with a lot of guys, are they resting? Are they injury and banged up? So you can actually have three of your starting five offensive linemen not playing. Lawan's already out. Sappho, he said he's out. So Ben Jones is, which makes me think Ben Jones is questionable, maybe a game time decision. I don't know. It says knee is what the report is. So we don't know what the extent that is. It could be a bruised knee. I don't know. It could be a strain. You have no idea.
Yeah.
So you're talking about a new center for your quarterback. I'm hoping everybody's down on the defensive line for the Ravens. I mean, if we're going to go with our twos, let's have a handshake deal. You guys go with y'all twos. Yeah, but, when I say twos, I'm talking about the backups.
Right.
So, you know, hey, but those guys who are going to get opportunity, it's going to be huge, and they're going to show in a one game, and people don't go crazy. If they do really great, it mean that they should be starting it, but they rose to the occasion. That'll help them for wherever they're trying to go to if their contract is up. But, yeah, this is we're going to try to run the football too. Yeah, man, Hey, jeez, man. What can I mean? Then the injury issues gonna come into play first and foremost. If you know you lose him, I mean, you can't win without you know some of your main guys. That's you know. Then Kelly's only practicing one day a week. They're maintenance in AJ Brown, so that's smart. Yeah, this one here, man. I don't know, man. Because Jackson, the quarterback, Lamar can always be the equalizer, and really, just even if they have injuries, he can make something out of nothing. Yeah. And Tannehill's more of a true pocket passer. Yeah, can he scramble? Yes. Can he move around? But he's not gonna just take over the game with his legs and his arm.
Right.
So that, man, this. You know, I'm David Downer. You know, I just despise the Ravens because they're exactly who we were and wanted to be, and they beat us. Every time I see them, I give them much respect and hugs and everything. But in my mind, I'm like, man, we should have beat y'all. I'm never going to forgive them for that. They had a few players a little bit better than ours. Ray, Ed Reed, I mean. Shoot.
Let's say this.
Ed Reed was just a little bit better than me.
Well, let's say this, though. People go back and look at that Titans roster, too, in 2000, 99, 2000. You guys were loaded. A bunch of guys who played in Pro Bowls. I mean, a bunch of guys. If you say, okay, who's the best Titan at this position, at this position, at this position, a bunch of those guys are going to come off those teams, especially that one that you're talking about. Absolutely.
Yeah, but we had a great, great unit. We played well together, and we had great chemistry. And everybody knew their role. I think all those things are undervalued, especially when you're talking about chemistry and understanding each other. When you look at somebody and you know what they're thinking, now you've done something. And I think that's the part that's missing. They keep talking about, you know, communication. Well, that's what they're talking about necessarily is, you know, you may get in compromising positions that you didn't practice.
Yeah.
So if there's a little bit of hesitation, hey, the ball is gone, and then now it's too late. So you got to have that kind of communication. And unfortunately, it looks like they had confusion at times. I don't know if they're just doing something a little different to tweak the defense compared to last year. Injuries to players you're not used to playing with, you thinking and assuming that they know. But that's when you go through the walkthroughs, you kind of have – not only conversation, actual the play, but actual plays that could actually happen. So, if they motion here, even though we didn't walk through it, you know we're going to this, right? You got to take it to that next level when you're dealing with young players who have talent and they just don't have experience. So, because you want to feel comfortable and you want to feel like you can trust them. That way, the safety can play fast. The linebacker can play fast that has the experience. So all those things really count a lot, and it's just a razor edge difference and a step behind half a step. It means a lot in the National Football League because quarterbacks are so precise with their throws. And that's why I put out that video. I think it's kind of hard to explain it all, but I was trying to put out a video that shows triangle, and I wish I had a marker on there and I could do it, but I don't know how to do all that stuff.
Because we talked about this yesterday, and then you found a video of you guys doing it.
Yeah, and somebody's still messing up after we went over this play 50 billion times. I wanted to go run at him and yell at him and say, hey, man, it's the same thing we practiced. What are you doing? And I asked everybody to guess on who messed up because someone in the media, if I would have got beat for that touchdown, because I was beat. Yeah, Stokely, remember I've been on Stokely. Stokely came on our show. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, with the Broncos and everything. He was supposed to be over the top of me. He was nowhere in the screen. He wasn't 20 yards from me.
He was somewhere in the middle of the field.
So you're talking about panic mode in game, and I'm chasing. I'm like, you just start running. You just start running. Watch this. Running and praying all at the same time. All right. And I'm going to explain it real briefly what triangle is. I'm going to slow down because I know I talk fast, but this is how your brain is thinking when you're playing football. It's just not a normal game. And that's why I said you want quick thinkers out there. And I wish I could smart enough to come up with something that could show you that you were a quick thinker and could, at the last minute you can adjust and do things. That's what quarterbacks are. That's what all the great ones are. They have it. You can have less talent, but long as you're a quick thinker, you're good to go. Right. All right, triangle is three DBs versus two wide receivers. I showed on there they had three receivers on our side. I locked D-Walk. D-Walk doesn't like to be involved in none of that. We could have went box, but he just said, I got my guy. And I'm like, good, right. Lock, go. Right. All right. It's two of us, which is Samari Rowe, who we're going to have on at 115 on the inside receiver. And they're about 5 yards apart. And Booker, who is lined up on the outside shoulder of the number two receiver. So one DB, Samari, inside shade, one outside. I'm at the top of the triangle if you want to draw a triangle. I'm at the T, and I'm probably about 10 to 12 yards. I like to creep up and be a little closer. And so what we have practiced is when the number two receiver who's outside the number one slot guy goes inside, which was Shannon Sharp, mm-hmm. number two, then he's runs a dig. Or here's the question we had. I had a conversation with everybody about it. What we're going to do. All right. If he stutters and doesn't and runs a go, because you can run right through that, because I'm sitting. When I say sitting, I'm backpedaling and I'm squatting and digging on. I'm driving on the dig route, because right. that's the combination they show. But I said, if he stutters and doesn't do the dig and runs a go, your job as the number outside Booker guy is just to run vertical, because I can't cover the seven route and the go. So since you have no work after they did their releases, you just run. Just run straight and you'll be able to make a play from outside in. He didn't do any of that. He stopped. And Samari's guy whipped away from him. So Samari got his guy. And he came off into a five-yard route. So these are the things that frustrate and then make you not trust your other teammates. And this is, I bet you, what's going on with Byard and Vaccaro, who are very talented, by the way.
Yeah.
At their positions, they if you do any list out there, they're at their positions, they're top 10. They are. So when you don't trust your teammates, you start hesitating and not believing in basically what we need to be doing to be successful.
Right.
Yeah. So that's exactly what happened on that play. And oh, by the way, everybody keeps asking me what was that I was doing after the play. No, I was trying to simulate me dancing, but that was actually not actually dancing before we go to break. I really want to say this. That was really trying to show Ray Lewis up on his dance, because I got tired of them talking smack in the newspaper and we couldn't say anything because we said we're going to just go out there and let our play do the talking and not all that jibber jabber they do all in the paper. So when you bust somebody in the mouth, they shut up. So that's how we approached it on our defensive side. Obviously, they were playing defense, so it wasn't like it was defense versus defense, because we would have bust them in the mouth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, I was fired up watching the clip. I'm even more fired up now.
Man. Yeah, well, I got fired up because that's what goes on out there. Meanwhile, if I would have got beat, somebody would have wrote, oh, Blaine got beat deep, when I wasn't even supposed to be in the screen.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Stokely was a Sun Belt guy. I watched him run all over A-State for 4 years.
Runner,
he was very a good deceptive. Route runner.
He was kind of, the modern day Adam Humphrey type guy
who
knew the change, but also he had some speed though. He had speed. Beat you deep. So yeah, man, that was just an example of what goes on out there and what can and cannot happen if guys don't do their job. Just a little tweak and you mess up.
Blaine snuck this in. The big news. Samari Rowe joins us next. Number 21 next, right here. Blaine and Mickey, 104.5 The Zone. Samari. Blaine and Mickey on 104.5 The Zone. Man, we are joined by best cornerback right now in Titans history, Samari Rowe, on the line. Samari, dude, how in the world are you? And it is great having you on the show.
Yeah, door knob.
Thank you for having me. Thank you. I'm good down here in sunny Florida. It's getting cold, though. It's like 72. It's cold down here. Anything... probably below 70 around that area is considered cold down here.
Oh, my, man. That's hilarious, man. I appreciate you coming on, brother, man. How's the fam and the kids and everything, man?
Everyone is good. My oldest girl is 21, about to be 21 at Florida State. Ooh. It's just bad that we're not very good right now. My other girl, 14, and then my two boys, one is in high school, and the little one is playing baseball because football was canceled this year because of the COVID and everything.
Samara, I'm glad you brought that up. It reminded me because we used to have these conversations because I used to be so fascinated with some of your athleticism and some of the things you used to do so naturally and so easily, you know, especially that one hand intercept. Man, that was incredible. But anyway, I used to ask you like, hey, man, do a lot of, because you could have played offense. You played offense in high school. Kind of take us through your background and playing offense in high school, even though you was all everything at defensive back.
Well, my high school, our coach, Coach Crow, believed in keeping his best athletes on the field. So, Little League, I always only played quarterback. Then when I got to high school, Dwayne Starks, who was the 10th pick of my draft, the Baltimore Ravens, he was our quarterback. And our running back was Terry Cousins, who played about 10 years in the NFL as well. So all I really got to do was play wide receiver, but Dwayne didn't throw. He ran the ball all the time. So it's almost like my junior year of high school was a waste, basically, just because, you know, I was just out there. But I understood that, you know, this is South Florida, and these two guys are very good. So when I saw Dwayne end up getting drafted top 10, I'm like, damn, I was kind of right. You know, he was. So then he was a year older than me, so then the next year I just happened to step into the position of quarterback, punt returner, and free safety. But the crazy thing is I envisioned myself as a wide receiver. I wanted to play wide receiver in college, but none of the power schools were recruiting me as a receiver. It was only cornerback. So it's almost like I was kind of forced to play cornerback, so you say?
Well, I don't know about that, because once you got to the Titans, it was pretty clear, you know, Jeff Fisher, they wanted you to play a little bit of offense when you first got there, and it was kind of fascinating. I'm like, well, dang, man, we want him on our side. So kind of take us through that maturation process and why that didn't end up happening, and why you just stayed on defense, which we were always elated anyway.
I really believe when that collision happened with Stevie J and myself that day in training camp,
yeah,
I think everything was just kind of thrown out at that point, and we were just going to concentrate on playing the nickel that year and then the next year hopefully starting. So I think when that happened, that just sidetracked all of that. But when I got to Baltimore, I see Pac-Man playing on offense. I'm like, you got to be kidding me, man. Jeff, now you decide to do this? But they did let me do home run throwbacks, so that was all right.
Yeah. What Samari's talking about, he got injured in a neck injury, and he ran into somebody, and then it was scary and everything else. So they was like, well, we just going to keep him on defense. So that's cool. We're on with Samari Rowe, Titans' greatest defensive back, cornerback ever in Titans history. Mickey.
Samar, you were mentioning your high school backfield. That's amazing. There were three NFL draft picks. But I was gonna hit you with this. When you got drafted in 98, your draft class with the Titans was you, Kevin Dyson, Dane and Sidney, Joe Salavea, Benji Olsen, and Kevin Long. And there were two other guys. I didn't even write their names down. But all of you guys came in with that class. Dude, that's a whole lot of success from one draft class, and you wound up having the best career out of everybody.
I think I was just blessed to fall into the perfect situation. I forgot to tell you that Chad Johnson was in 10th grade at our high school as well. So, you know, I forgot to mention Chad also. We just never played on the same team. He was on JV at the time. But but back to happening to fall, you know, maybe I fell in the draft. I don't know. You know, I was the 13th cornerback, BB selected, and 46th overall. So I guess you could say it was just a lot of defensive backs going off the board. I remember, I think Kevin Dyson had that play not happen with him and Perry Phoenix in practice. I think Dyson's career would have been a whole lot different. And I think he could have had the same success that Benji and myself had as well from my draft class.
Yeah, such a good class. What was it like for you to join that Titans defense? Because there was an intense guy named Blaine Bishop, and there were some really good players in that room. What was it like to step in? Mark Robb, what was it like to step in with that group?
Well, the only person that I knew from the Oilers defense at the time was Blaine Bishop. You knew who Steve was, bless his soul, and Eddie George was. But on defense, I only knew who Blaine Bishop was. But when I got to mini camp and I saw how short he was, I'm like, man. I'm like, no way, man. I'm like, there's no way. And then I saw how big Eddie was. So I'm like, man, what is this like when they have to hit, you know, or whatever. But then I just started watching Blaine, watching Mark Robb and Stevie J. And you just, when you know these guys have played in the NFL this long, as you're coming in, obviously they've done something right. So you want to emulate as much as you can what they're doing without trying to be them. And I would say when I got there as a rookie in training camp, Dale Lewis didn't practice that much. But in my mind, I'm like, man, once I learn all of this, I know I'll be better than him. And it's just, you know, it's not arrogance or anything, but I've just always looked at stuff like that. When you go to a new team or a new situation, you just look at the guys in front of you and just try to, you know, align yourself that way.
On with the great Samari Roll, talking Titans football and more.
Oh, no doubt about it. And it hurt Samari just as much as it did Darrell Lewis when they let him go. And we all knew, you know, it's just business, and Samari Roll was a heck of an athlete. I guess kind of take us through the maturation process of, you know, how to play the position and how you play in your style, and no one can duplicate your style. Don't try to be something that you're not. And then how you implement that, and then you use that, let alone how you looked at splits and formations and who were you playing against being a cornerback, because there's been a lot of complaints about everybody playing off. And I think it's okay to play off, but if it's third and five, you may want to play off to drive on a, you know, you did some film study on an out. I don't know. Maybe you force them to play a press and they run a go and you press bail. Let's go through all of that, of what you knew about playing cornerback once you got settled down in the league.
Well, Blaine, what you do know is if we were playing somebody and it was third and five and we were off and letting them catch the ball to sticks, you and Derry Gray would be talking the most noise. So, you know, some things you do have to know. I was blessed to go to Florida State and have the best defensive back coach, I believe, of all time, Mickey Andrews. And, you know, he has Deion Sanders as his prize pupil. But Coach Andrews just taught us so much. And it's things he taught us that you're not supposed to do. And it would be things like Coach would teach me to T-step. But Coach Andrews didn't teach us the T-step. He taught us the click step. So I'm going to do what I know is right. You know, this coach in the NFL, his way might be okay, but I'm going to do what Coach Andrews taught me to do. That's what I know. And then you happen to end up with a great coach like Jerry Gray, and who's a former Pro Bowler and a first-round pick. So he's basically, you got a coach basically telling you what the other team is doing, how they're going to do it, and week by week he just shows you the same play they did, but they just got to it a different way. But when you're young, you don't have the mental capacity, I think, to process all of that so fast to know, well, this is what I'm going to get right here, this is what I'm going to get right here, this down and distant. So then you have to watch somebody, or you have to get up under a Blaine Bishop or a Marcus Robinson, or listen to Jerry Gray Moore, or kind of pay attention to what Greg Williams is saying. And I think you just have to take it upon yourself, you know, to take notes the right way and where you can comprehend it. Blaine, you used to mess with me about how I took my notes because I didn't write. I mean, I didn't draw it. You know, I would write it out. And you'd be like, man, why are you taking your notes?
You write a paragraph, man.
Right. You know what? I just learned better like that. Comprehending coverages and plays and everything. You know, everyone learns differently. And that's what worked for me. But I know you used to laugh at me all the time about that.
Yeah, I did, because everybody learns differently. And I was just like, dang, man, about time I would have, for me personally, wrote all that out. I would have missed the next play that he going over. So it was just, you know, everybody learns different. It's no different now when you're in school or anywhere else on your job. So I had a lot of respect for Samari, man. Man, he was a phenomenal talent, best corner I've ever played with. And I played with some pretty good ones. And that puts Troy Vincent out there and Bobby Taylor with the Eagles as well, who, potentially be in the Hall of Fame conversation. I know they were on the list, but Samari Rowe was a phenomenal athlete. I think, Samari, do you remember that time? This is when I said, uh-oh, this guy is off the charts. But first of all, they had watch this. They made a song after you. Rolling, rolling, rolling. I used to love that. I used to be so pumped up when they played that. When you and the Freak had that freak out, that thing got me lit. I used to get lit in the games. So, you know, take us through this one-handed. You remember the one-handed interception? I don't know how you run so fast and then jump in the air like a gazelle and catch a ball one-handed out the air. How did you do that?
I couldn't even catch, you know. one thing I do know about when I've caught balls one hand in practice or games in NFL or college, it's not like you're trying to catch it with one hand. It just happens to be that's how your body is contorted at the time, and it just happens to work out that way. Like the show Odell Beckham can put on a pregame, that's phenomenal, man. To be able to do that to the point to where in a game you expect him to do that, that is it's next level stuff, man. And that's why to this day I think I should have been a receiver, but somebody knew something.
Yeah, well, all right. I'm gonna ask you a tough question here. Titans, Ravens, who are you cheering for? I know you had a lot of your boys from Miami on that Ravens team now.
You know what? I would say at that point of my career, Baltimore was fun and everything, but it was a different type of environment. You know, you had more big name players, and all of them were good guys and everything, but it was just a different vibe in the city. It wasn't much to do to me, and I was at a different point in my life being married. So I would take the Titans. I've had a much, much better time in Tennessee, I'd say, because I was healthier, most of all. And we had like a special bond in Tennessee, going from the Oilers practicing at TSU and playing at Vanderbilt. I'm like, man, you got to be kidding me, man. This is the NFL. You know what I mean? From Bud Adams flying on the field, saying no more 8-8. You remember that, Blaine?
Yeah, man. I remember it all, man.
The helicopter? It was, I don't know, Tennessee, it just felt like I was more so part of something that we built. Unfortunately, the 2000 team didn't win the Super Bowl, but that's still the best team I've ever been on. My 12 years of playing, the best team I've been on.
Oh, man, we're with Samari Rowe, man. I could ask you 50 big questions, but I don't want to hog you, man, for Mickey.
I wanted to ask you about this, that the play that most Titans fans remember, you guys are playing Washington in the year 2000 season. I think it was week 9, still one of my all-time favorite Titans games. You get a pick. And as the clock runs out in the first half, you score an 81-yard touchdown return. Man, take us through that play, because that's one that Titans fans are going to get goosebumps over for the rest of their life.
Yeah, talk about my block, too, man, where I got hurt in my disc blocking that offensive lineman.
the last, hey, I will say this, Jamari, yes, the last block thrown was Blaine Bishop. I watched that play.
It was.
And come back, cleaned out him.
Still messed up.
It surely was. I didn't play the week before. I hurt my ankle, so I didn't play against the Ravens, so my conditioning wasn't what it was supposed to be because I couldn't run really. But I caught the ball on our sideline, and there was no way I was running out of bounds because you really don't get the ball in the open field that often. But the whole time as I'm running, it never crosses my mind that this is the last play of the half. You know, I'm just running, and once I got back to the other side of the field and got across Brad Johnson, Florida State guy, Super Bowl quarterback, once I got by him, it was Blaine and Eddie Robinson, and it was some big guys coming, man. It was some big guys coming across, and you just see like two, three Titans just doing everything they can to get this guy out the way, and I just like slowed up, and somebody swooped at my leg, and something told me to just pick my feet up, and I stumbled in the end zone. But I thought I was going to have to go to the hospital because I couldn't breathe. Everybody was on me. So I mean, I'm sitting there like on the field, not even realizing I scored, but I can't breathe because everybody is on top of me. And when we come out to go out on defense, I can't go because I'm too tired. Blaine Bishop, being scruffy, fussing at me. I ran just as far as he did. I went and blocked. I didn't do what he did.
He's like, but you didn't score a touchdown.
I said, Blaine can say, in my mind, like Blaine can say what he wants to say. I'm tired. I'm not going back in this series. But, you know, that was the makeup of our team. And if Blaine wouldn't have said that, I wouldn't expect anything less. That was just the makeup of our team. Just play hard for the next person. And we just came up short, man.
Yeah, yeah. Before we let you go, man, because this is funny to me, but explain to people why you call me Cathedral. Because I know it's an insult in there somewhere.
Man, I don't know if the people know Blaine played running back in high school. So,
oh, yeah.
I know Blaine can jump. Blaine can really jump. That's his one athletic attribute. he can really jump high. But when he's talking about he played running back and this and that, I'm like, man, there's no way. So he told me what high school he went to. But I know of Ben Davis, Lawrence. Am I saying it right?
You said it right. Lawrence North.
Yeah, North Central, but not Cathedral. So, you know, high school football comes on cable network here and there. So Cathedral was on one time, and they're running this old school wing tee and all this. Like I said, I know this is why Blaine was running, man. And ever since then, I just, you know, it just stuck with me, Cathedral. And as a matter of fact, they were on some point last year, and I texted Blaine about Cathedral. So your son got his mom's jeans. Chase got his mom's jeans. I know it.
Oh,
I know he did.
Man.
He's at Tennessee. He's going to Tennessee, Blaine.
Yeah, he's at Tennessee, man. But yeah, I knew you were trying to insult me, man, all this time. I said, he thinks, I don't know. Did he try to say I'm like a blue collar overachiever type guy? That's what he was saying to me. Meanwhile, he got a big old poster of Lil' Kim in his locker.
Man, I know Jeff Diamond took my poster, man. To this day, I know he took my poster down. I know he did.
Oh, man. All right, smart, man. I appreciate you, bro, man. Oh, man. Take it easy, man.
Nah,
tell the fam I said hello.
Hey, who you got winning the game on Sunday?
Oh, man, you know I'm always going to be tightening up a little all the way down, man. I got to keep fighting, man. I hope hopefully all the Ravens is injured.
Yeah. Well,
if the Titans DBs don't come down and challenge, Lamar's going to throw across the middle of all day. You do know that, right? That at some point, they got to tighten up the covers. But I expect a good game, man.
All right. Appreciate it, Doorknob.
Thank you, Samari.
All good. Take care.
All right. Cathedral of Me will be right back. Blaine and Mickey. 1.45 The Zone. Blaine and Mickey on 1.45 The Zone. Get some amazing feedback on the Dory Jackson interview. All right, Dory Jackson. Samari Rowe. Dory is not playing.
We wish it was a Dory Jackson.
Yeah, sorry. I was looking at my notes in the break there. Mike Vrabel did say today, and we'll hit you with this at the top of the hour, but he has already said Saffold, Dory, and Adam Humphries aren't going to play. So I guess I'm still thinking about that. I wish that Samari Rowe was here to play, but tons of good feedback, great feedback about that interview. What a great player and such an awesome dude. We got Dino on the line, Blaine. I think he's got a story he wants to share about a Dory. So, hey, you got a story you want to share?
Samari.
I keep saying a Dory. Samari, 615-737-1045. Samari. What's going on, Dino?
Roll it.
How you guys doing, man?
Good.
I got the funniest Samari Roll story. It's unbelievable, and Blaine is going to remember this. And I was on the sideline, and I can't remember if it was in Cincinnati or Cleveland when we had a streaker. Remember that, Blaine?
Oh, yeah. I think that was I definitely remember that.
Okay, well, I'm just going to tell you this. I usually don't call in, but I died when it happened. So this guy's streaking, man, and the dude was blessed. That's all I can tell you. So he's streaking down the field. The ref called timeout because obviously the game got disrupted. Samari Rowe comes running toward the sideline, and it was either Benji Olsen or Zach Piller that said, "Hey Samari, why didn't you take that guy down?" Samari goes, "I didn't want to get penalized."
Yeah. Yeah, man. Just think that's in the middle of a game over cracking jokes like that. I'm telling you, man. I couldn't even have thought about that. I'm looking around like, what the heck is going on? And I was like, man, you should have tackled that guy. He's like, man, I ain't tackling that guy. I could have got penalized.
Oh, my goodness.
He's out of control, man. I wouldn't believe that wasn't his first or last time saying that. I don't know why. That was too quick on the trigger, man. He was quick, man, with that one.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, man. So I remember Samari didn't want to come out the locker room. We played Cleveland in the snow. He's like, man, I've never seen no snow. I don't know if I could play. So I'm up here giving him all these records. I said, put on, you know, this Vaseline underneath your clothes. I say, stay by the heater and just run on the field right before we go out there. I was getting him all these little tips. He was like, man, dude, I about burnt myself at the heater.
Well, you mentioned, because people were like, wait a second, Vaseline. I asked you once a couple of years ago, the Titans were playing a game, it was really cold. I said, how in the world did you stay warm on a day like that? You said, I covered myself in Vaseline. I said, what?
Well, they got icy hot. I mean, they had all kind of different stuff that I would use, but not necessarily that. But yeah, that was one of them. Yeah.
And it worked.
You wrap it up under, you know, with your clothes over the top, you know, wherever you had on, you know, the dry fit stuff and everything else. They had everything you needed. But yeah, and it kept you warm. And then I used those back plaster. That wasn't for actually cold weather, but that I would still use them to keep my hamstring and low back since I herniated my disc blocking the offensive lineman there for Samari Rowe.
And to get some Redskins.
Yeah, so I put on a back plaster on my hamstrings as well. So yeah, man, there was all kind of tricks that you could do to make sure that you stay warmed up. You know, but some guys had never had it, you know, never done it. So they were always hesitant. You know, guys that are used to their own system and program, the way they do things go, man, I don't know, man. I've never done that before. You'd be astonished at some of the guys that fear them doing something that they hadn't done before playing ball. It's really interesting. I was the same way, too.
Man, I would have been like, okay, if this keeps me warm, just point me towards whatever works here. Oh, my gosh. But, you know, guys from Florida. You know, he started with us saying, yeah, man, it's really cold down here. It's dropped down like, what did he say, 72 degrees? It's winter time down here. Come on,
it's winter down here, man. He's still the same way, man.
Oh, my gosh.
That guy, man, he was bad, man. He was silky smooth. Woo.
Yeah. Buck Rising is going to join us at 2:15. We'll talk Titans with him. We'll talk about who practiced and who didn't practice. There's a list of guys that we'll go through. Also, the whole thing with Dean Pease continues to kind of percolate. He did an interview with the Tennessean, and a lot of people read the interview and thought, oh, my gosh, he wants to coach again. But then he was on the Midday 180, and he kind of talked down on some of that. And we'll talk some Dean Pease, certainly, on this show and with Buck Rising as well, because we got a whole nother hour coming up of Blaine and Mickey on 104.5.